Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. In today's episode, we are going to be talking all about our nerves. And in particular, the nerves that sense pain, the nerves that sense decreased mobility, the nerves that sense balance and tell us where we are in space. So what I've found in my practice is that over and over again, patients are confused about what to do in terms of keeping themselves healthy and keeping themselves mobile. Because I'll hear a lot of folks go, yeah, I played ball with my kids last night and oh, my arms are aching so terribly. Well, when's the last time you played ball with your kids? Oh man, I usually play ball like once a year. That's usually kind of the answer I'll get from folks. And that's sad because using your joint to throw, so your shoulder joint to throw a ball once a year, that's not enough training for it. You could easily hurt yourself. And oftentimes people will come in complaining of hurting themselves after an episode like this, or playing with their grandkids, or playing with the dog. And these are otherwise healthy individuals, they just haven't paid attention to their joints and their mobility. Now, the other scenario that I'll often have in my office is that folks will have tripped and fallen and have injured themselves somehow. And when I dive into how does that trip or fall happen, they say, oh, you know, I lost my balance, or oh, you know, I tripped on this or I tripped on that. Well, how come you couldn't catch yourself? What happened? How did you completely wipe out? Well, it comes down to the fact that a lot of us are not really good at balance. And in fact, when left to our own devices, we can't even balance even like on a log if it's not floating. It's just sitting there on the beach. And of course, I have to put myself through all of these challenges. And even, you know, as a 40-year-old individual, I struggle with balance too, and have found that if I keep working with it, it has helped me to, if I lose my footing, I can catch myself better. If I stumble, I can recover better, and I'm more agile. And heck, I would like to be agile into my hundreds, and I'm hoping that because you're listening to this podcast, you would like to too. And so today I'm going to talk about why you need to train your sensory and mechanoreceptor nerves, why you want them dialed in, and how dialing those guys in will help you to reduce pain, it'll increase your mobility, and it'll help you with balance. All of these things that help with longevity, which of course is my main goal for having this podcast, is keeping people healthy as they age. So let's dive into how we sense. So take a look at your hand for a second. The palms of your hands and the bottoms of your feet are so rich in small nerves. Those nerves are called proprioceptors. They tell us where we are in space. And they also can tell us what we're feeling. So that's why you can stick your hand in a backpack and find a pen, because your proprioceptive nerves on your fingertips can help you to, you know, feel your way through, say, a purse or a backpack. The same thing goes with your feet. But most of the time you have your foot in shoe coffins, right? You're wearing these big clunky shoes. How often do you go barefoot? I challenge you to go barefoot more in your house. Now, a lot of people are even walking around their houses these days wearing slippers. And don't get me wrong, in the winter it's cold. Sometimes I like to use slippers too. But I do realize that changing textures and changing the feeling underneath my feet is an exercise for my proprioceptive nerves. So I want you to think about the last time you walked outside barefoot and you walked on, say, a sidewalk or a gravel driveway. It's pretty painful, huh? It feels kind of weird. But think about it this way. That's an exercise for all those little nerves in your feet. I love walking on beaches that have lots of rocks. Now, that might sound super weird to a lot of you, but what it is it's a nice massage and a nice little exercise for all of your proprioceptive nerves. It's a way to help them to turn on and a way to help them to engage in balance and mechanical movement of your body. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me talk about using nature as my gym. I love to jump on rocks. I love to balance, use logs as balance beams. I love parking blocks as balance beams. Literally, I channel my inner five-year-old whenever I can. And really, this practice is extremely useful because I'm constantly challenging my small nerve proprioceptors. I also highly encourage folks to play in playgrounds when they can and get your hands going too. You know, the monkey bars and the swings, just having something different for your hands to feel than, you know, holding your cell phone all day long. So let's think about this in terms of our nerves. Now, most of our nerves live in our tissue known as fascia. Fascia is directly below your dermis, let's put it that way. You have epidermis, which is your outer skin, and then dermis is your second layer. And that fascia is just below your dermis and just above your muscle. And if that fascial tissue that's highly loaded with proprioceptive nerves isn't moving well because your mobility sucks, well, guess what? You're going to have pain. Why is that? Because those small proprioceptive nerves, when not utilized properly, become oversensitive. And so you want to keep using these guys. You want to challenge them. You want to be working on the ensuring that your joints move in proper directions. Now, let's play with this for a minute. I want you to take your arm and reach up, just like you're raising your hand to ask a question. I mean a proud question, not just a half-assed one. You got your hand way up there. You have a big question. You just can't wait for someone to answer. Now, how's that feel? Now, I want you to take your thumb, and I want you to try to reach your thumb a little bit back with your hand, you know, hands up, turn that thumb like behind you, and try to reach back. Do you feel pretty restricted? Does it feel like you can reach back well? If not, guess what? There's some work to do in terms of reaching back with your shoulder. Now, what I also want you to do is bring that arm down now. Probably if you're keeping it up that whole time, you're getting a little warm. Might have burned a little. Now take that thumb, put your thumb back up. I want you to reach up again, and then I want you to turn your wrist so that your thumb's going up, but your pinky is headed behind you, and you bring your shoulder in full rotation. Did that get wonky for anyone? Did you get hung up? Did you have pain? Did it feel tight? Well, if any of those things happened, guess what? You need to work on your mobility of your shoulder. Another telltale thing about the shoulder in terms of mobility is, can you touch between your shoulder blades? So I want you all to try that right now. If you can't touch between your shoulder blades, or you have to grab your elbow to put your hand between your shoulder blades, guess what? We've got shoulder mobility issues. You want to work on that. That is not good. Ladies in particular, we are at a higher risk of something called frozen shoulder. And if you don't use your shoulders and you don't move them well, guess what? You're more likely to get frozen shoulder as you get into your late 40s, early 50s, and 60s because of declining levels of estrogen. So this is a big deal. So now you looked at your shoulder mobility. Now I want all of you guys to think about, when is the last time you threw a ball? It could be a baseball. It could be a bouncy ball. I don't care what kind of ball. Medicine ball, slam ball. When's the last time you picked up a ball, you put your arm up, and you threw it some distance? Probably wasn't. Well, let's put it this way. For most people, it was a while ago. Now, I want you all to take in your hand, pretend that you have a ball in your hand, bring your arm back like you're going to throw a ball, just like a pitcher. You're going to throw it really far. How did that feel? Did it feel wonky? Did your shoulder pop? Did your elbow pop? If throwing a ball or even just mimicking the motion of throwing a ball feels really weird and restricted, guess what? Your mechanoreceptors in your shoulder need some work. They want to be stretched. They want to move better. And so there's a ton of different ways to go about this. And there is a doctor that is kind of putting out all kinds of information in this capacity. It's a term called kin stretch. And Dr. Andrea Spina, he's a chiropractor, he created kin stretch. And he's talking all about how movements of all of your joints are extremely useful to keep your mechanoreceptors processing information and keeping them alive and keeping them basically working properly. Because like anything, if you don't use it, you lose it. Think about your muscles. If you lift weights for years and years and then all of a sudden you stop, you're going to lose your ability. You're going to lose your muscle tone, right? And the same thing goes with your mechanoreceptors. These mechanoreceptors are extremely useful for helping your shoulder to figure out where it is in space. And it's also extremely useful for telling muscles to fire and stability of your shoulder. So now maybe you don't want to be throwing a ball. Maybe you could care less if you throw a ball. But think about this. What about if you slip and fall and you need to catch yourself and you need those nerves to fire properly to help to catch you? These are your mechanoreceptors. They can feel the motion of your arms as you're going downward. And your proprioceptors are going to tell you, I'm going downward. We need to tighten the muscles to catch you. And so as you're going downward, if you have better shoulder mobility, you're better likely to catch yourself versus smashing your face or breaking your wrist or something of that nature. So keep that in mind in terms of long-term mobility and balance. So I just gave you a brief description of mechanoreceptors that live around your joints and really are there to determine motion. Now, in addition to mechanoreceptors, we have nerve endings in our fascia, as I mentioned, but also in our muscles, our tendons, our ligaments. And what they do is they receive information about the amount of pressure, the speed at which you're moving, the rate at which you're changing motions. So your body knows when you're in a car versus when you're running down the street. They could tell when you're doing a somersault. If anyone out there's ever been in gymnastics or springboard diving, you can tell when your head's coming back up and around to be able to gauge when you want to come out of that somersault. Now, I have a lot of experience because in high school I was a springboard diver and I was a gymnast as a kiddo. And in these motions of movement where your head's going down and coming back up, I could gauge when I was on the second revolution of, let's say, a double somersault. I knew when to come out because I could feel it, which is pretty cool. And so channeling this and being able to feel your body better and feel your motion of your joints better is key. And knowing when your joints moving, so the movement of your joints doesn't feel good versus when it does. Okay, so let's talk about proprioceptive nerves for a little bit here. Remember, these guys are the ones that know where you are in space. That input comes in through your spinal cord. And it goes up to your brain. And it allows us to have a conscious and subconscious sense of where we are and how we're moving. Now, that information that goes to the brain also sends a message back out. And that message back out is how to adapt to what motion you're putting yourself into. So if you don't move and you sit on the couch a lot, how much information do you think is going to come up to your brain and come back out? Not that much. These are things that need to be trained. These are things that you need to be working on a daily basis. Now, I'm not talking about running marathons. I'm talking about movement and play and having fun, balancing and putting your joints into all of the motions that they were designed to do. That's why Tai Chi, yoga, these types of exercises are extremely useful for the body. Because as we know, the more we use something, the more we're going to be fine-tuned to utilize it in its full capacity versus sitting on the couch and losing it. So one of the big things that I like to have folks in my office think about is this. As a kid, you explore your environment. You're playing, you're jumping, you're putting yourself into different positions. You're mimicking animals. In fact, this last past weekend, I just watched some kids play with my dogs and they mimicked how the dogs moved. Now, you don't see adults doing that very often. And I think that's sad because we've lost our art of play. Adults get all serious about being adults. And guess what? In that seriousness of being an adult, we forget how to play and we forget how to use all of our joints and our nerves properly. And when we block these nerves from working properly because our tissue's kind of all bound up, that's where we get pain. The more you move, the less pain you have. Simple as that. So these proprioceptors that are figuring out where we are in space, they're figuring out what's happening, these guys are pretty well defined. And in particular, we have four of these guys. They're known as the Pacinian corpuscles, the Meissner's corpuscles, the Ruffini end organs, and Merkel's discs. Now, yes, I'm going to go on a geek out tangent for a minute because I want you to know about these different receptors, because these four different receptors do very different things in terms of what they sense. Now, the Pacinian corpuscles, these guys tell when pressure has begun and ended. And so it's prolonged, not prolonged pressure, it's short durations of pressure. So if you press your finger against your skin and you just let go, this is Pacinian corpuscles. They're noticing when the pressure has begun and ended, just quick pressure. They're deep in your skin, they're in your ligaments, and they're in your joints. Now, Merkel's discs, these guys are ones that are in your epidermis. They're superficial guys. So these guys adapt slowly to pressure, and so they can record sustained pressure or something that's been on the skin for a while. So the longer that it's been on the skin, the more messages that go to the brain that go, there's something really happening here. We need to pay attention. Those are kind of cool. Now, Ruffini end organs or Ruffini corpuscles, these guys are also in the superficial skin. They're in a superficial dermis, so that's your second layer of skin. And they are going to record vibration and pressure. So they can tell when there's motion. They're the ones that are going to keep you thinking you're still on a boat after you got off the boat. It's kind of cool. So those guys are much more detailed in terms of your receptors. And in particular, these guys help us to figure out where we are in space, but also pressure. Like I said before, they're also what tell us what's in a backpack when we can't see in the backpack and we're digging our hand in there looking for, say, a pen. Those pressures are familiar when we start to feel the pen and we kind of feel around it to know the difference between, say, a pen and a hairbrush. And our brain can help us to figure that out, which is pretty darn cool. But if we don't regularly put our hands into backpacks, we're not testing these nerves as much as we should. If we're not walking barefoot, we're not testing these nerves as much as we should. If we're not jumping from rock to rock, we're jumping just in general. And I'm not saying high jumps. I'm just talking little jumps, skips, things of that nature. If we're not doing these things regularly, it's hard for our body to remember what to do when we do encounter these. And that's why people end up getting hurt. Okay. So that's why I also like to play with balance. And I like to play with controlled articular rotations, CARS. CARS is a short acronym for the kin stretch type of concept in terms of controlled movements to help you improve your mobility, maintain your ranges of motion. And these CARS basically can tell your body and tell your cells of your mechanoreceptors what to do on a daily basis. So what I'm saying here is if you put your joints through motions on a daily basis, meaning a joint mobility routine, then you'll be able to catch a ball if one's thrown at you all of a sudden, or go right out and play a game of catch with your kids, or play a game of catch with your grandkids. So let me tell you a little story. This weekend, my husband and I were staying at a hotel that had a swimming pool. And if you've listened to any of my previous podcasts, you know that I like to play games with balls, like such as ball catch or ball toss. And really, it's because it's one of those things that help to maintain my shoulder mobility. Because as I mentioned before in this podcast, ladies in particular are at extreme risk of losing their shoulder mobility and ending up with frozen shoulder. Guys most commonly end up with rotator cuff tears. And a lot of us will think it's because of repeated use injury. No, it's usually one incident where these folks have not been putting their shoulders through proper ranges of motion, and then they go and work on their deck for like a week-long project. Then they tear their rotator cuff. Why? Because those muscles weren't ready for all that work. Their shoulder mobility was terrible prior to it, and they forced their body into something that it wasn't trained for. Think about that for a minute. How many times have you put yourself into a project where it literally kicked your butt and you ended up with like tendonitis for months later? I don't know how often this walks into my office where folks will not be putting themselves through mobility work. They might go to the gym every day, but they're hammering out workouts on the cardio machines or something. Or runners, for example, just running and not lifting or doing anything else. Not to knock on runners, but I was there once, so that's why I'm lecturing. But you've got folks who won't do anything to challenge their mobility and balance and then throw themselves into these ridiculous home projects and then wonder why they've got tendonitis for 6 months after that. You need to be training your body all the time to go through all these motions so that if you decide you want to put a fence in over a weekend, you can, and you won't suffer the consequences 8, 10, 12 months later. So hear me out here. My husband and I, like I said before, I went off on a tangent. We were playing ball in the pool, and we got into this competition with this ball that was kind of like it was a kid's ball, a lightweight kind of ball. We were playing like it was volleyball and knocking it back and forth to each other. And what we found is like we're hitting it and I'm like, wow, my shoulder is feeling a little stuck. And so I had to put my shoulder through a little bit of my mobility stuff and then I was fine. And we ended up getting like, we had this competition where the ball couldn't hit the water. We had to keep it up in the air and keep it going. And we got to like 27 or something and we were super proud of ourselves. But I did notice that I had been slacking on my shoulder mobility work because my shoulder, you know, I had to stop before we went to our long run of 27 and work on that shoulder and get it back mobile. So these are things that even I think about and I love to play all the time, but I realize in the moment that, oh, wow, I'm hitting this ball and things feel restricted. I think a lot of us are so out of balance or maybe not tuned into our bodies that we might throw a ball for our dog to fetch and we don't even notice how stiff our shoulder felt in throwing that ball. And so what do? We just go, oh, well, we'll throw it again and it'll warm up. No, no, no. Work on that mobility. There are some great YouTube videos out there for helping with mobility. And I have outlined my favorite one for the controlled articular rotations. It's a YouTube video that has a black belt karate gal who goes through her whole 10-minute routine, and it's awesome. It's a great, well-defined routine that any of us can do when we wake up in the morning. You can do it in the shower. You can do it while brushing your teeth. I mean, these are simple things. So maybe you might be thinking, well, I'm just an everyday Joe. Why would I go through a controlled articular rotation or kin stretch routine? Well, because do you want to lose your mobility? Do you want to be able to just pick up a game of ball and play with your grandkids or kids? Heck yeah. Or your friends? Yeah, you do. You want to be able to do that. And yes, major league ball teams, all kinds of soccer teams, even the Chicago Cubs use the kin stretch program. And yes, they're major league players, but they need to be able to play at their peak performance. Why can't you enter every single day like you're at your peak performance? Something to think about. I think we all need to be thinking about every single day as, you know, being our best mobile-wise, being our best balance-wise, versus thinking about, I don't know, tackling the day. I would rather be more mobile and happy and feel free in my body than being all grumpy and stuck and just not feeling good and wanting to sit on the couch. So there you have it. But let's talk a little bit more about balance for a moment, because I've been talking a lot about mobility because I think it's hugely important, but I think balancing is just as important. When's the last time you tried to stand on your tippy toes? I challenge you to think about that for a minute. When's the last time you tried to stand on one leg? These are really simple things that a lot of us don't do for years and years and years. But we have to do it when we're like falling or something's happening. And then this is the case in which we can seriously injure ourselves. So what I'm proposing is mobility exercises every day and balance exercises of some sort, channeling your inner five-year-old at least 2 to 3 times a week. Especially exercises where you close your eyes and try to balance. So I challenge you right now to stand up and to take one leg off the ground, just like raise your leg up, just raise your knee up and stand there. How long can you do this without falling over? Now, take that leg, put it down, shake it out, close your eyes, raise one leg up, so the knee up. Any different? Closing your eyes can help you to work on your balance, but also to get your muscles and brain communicating better. And by that, I mean using your sensory nerves in your feet and in your body, around your joints, in your muscles, to be able to sense where you are in space and keep you upright. It's really cool. I like to sometimes turn all the lights out and work on balance routines. Now, I don't recommend trying, you know, this with some jumping or jumping from rocks, but I do recommend even trying to walk heel to toe with your eyes closed or in a super dark room. It's very interesting. And do this barefoot, by the way, because the more you can let your feet out and let all those sensory nerves in your foot fascia work, the better it is. Now, you could take it from the basics and you can go into more advanced routines. I really like to do tabletop exercises. I like to do single leg balances, single leg squats, even a crossover walk. They call it karaoke walk or grapevine walk. Try doing that. And, you know, master at walking and going slow and then try to do it faster and faster. That grapevine karaoke crossover walk thing is tricky. I see a lot of patients in my office, they almost trip on themselves trying to do this crossover walk. Now, if you're hearing me say these things and you're like, oh my gosh, is she writing this down? I don't have time to write it down. It's in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So have no fear. I have all of this there for you. Another biggie for helping with proprioception is the squat. And if your ankle mobility isn't great, you're going to suck at squatting. But the good news is that you can squat down towards your chair, touch your tushy on the chair, and stand back up. I like to squat and then jump back up. A squat jump is a really great way to test your balance and proprioception. Now, if you've not jumped for anything in years, I highly recommend starting with just a basic squat. But a squat uses so much of your body's ability to balance your proprioceptors, your mechanoreceptors. It's amazing. It's one of my most favorite exercises for longevity and mobility and balance. But you want to make sure you're doing it right. And there are a ton of videos out there that will instruct you on how to do it. And I will put a link into my podcast at drjkrausnd.com so that you can see how to do that. Now, another big consideration here with your nerves is how to keep them healthy. Now, our nerves need vitamin B12. They need vitamin B1. They need vitamin B6. Vitamin D, vitamin E, and zinc. These are the main vitamins and minerals. Zinc is a mineral that we need to have healthy nerves. Now, if you are vegan, you're not going to get much vitamin B12 or vitamin D, and I would venture to say not much zinc either in the diet. Probably even vitamin, D, E, zinc, B12. Not going to get much of those. Might even not get a lot of vitamin B6. Vitamin B6 is rich in whole grains, but with this fad of not eating whole grains, a lot of us are missing out on even our vitamin B6. So things to think about. Now, another component is some amino acids. Acetyl L-carnitine and alpha-lipoic acid. These guys are important for nerve health. Also, inositol, it's an antioxidant, and so is alpha-lipoic acid. I might have confused you by saying the alpha-lipoic acid with the amino acid acetyl-L-carnitine. Now, these guys are extremely helpful to keep your nerves working properly. And when I see folks who are fatigued or having trouble with their balance and having trouble with proprioception, I often will make sure that they're supporting these particular vitamins, especially B12, especially B1, B6, D, that comes from sunlight, but also I highly recommend getting your vitamin D in the winter, especially if you're in an area that's dark and gray. And let's face it, about 50% of the population have a genetic mutation where you don't absorb vitamin D from the environment, so from the sunlight. So keep that in mind. So these guys are important nutrients, and the amino acid acetyl-L-carnitine is huge, and like I said before, the antioxidants and inositol alpha-lipoic acid. And when I test these nutrients, alpha-lipoic acid oftentimes comes up low in folks. Zinc does too, B12 and B1 and B6. Heck, you know what? Pretty much all of these, when I look at them in patients, come up pretty low. And just as a side note, acetyl-L-carnitine is also helpful in fat and carbohydrate metabolism. And our nerves are surrounded in fat. They need fat. So another reason why the acetyl-L-carnitine is extremely useful, because I have a lot of people in my practice that I notice they might break down fats okay, but they don't absorb them into the cells and utilize them properly. And so acetyl-L-carnitine is great for someone who's fatigued and has nerve issues. So something to think about. Now, I've mentioned the nerves, I've mentioned some of the exercises, and they're all going to be on my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. Now, one of my favorite items, let's put it this way, or tools for balance that I love to have in my house because I like to play at all times, is the BOSU ball, which stands for Both Sides Utilized. It's kind of an interesting name, but I have a BOSU ball, and it's one side's flat and the other side looks like a stability ball, so an exercise ball.
rubber ball. And so you can use both sides of it, but I like to use the flat side and stand on the flat side and really work on just basic balance. And so if you've not seen a BOSU ball, these have been around for quite some time now, but if you haven't seen one, I highly recommend just Googling it or go to my resources at drjkrausnd.com and check it out. It's a great tool to get started with balance. Say you don't feel like playing around outside. Say you don't want to jump from rock to rock or use a log as a balance beam. Okay, fine. You don't have to. Check out the BOSU ball. It's possibly my favorite tool for balance, and I find all kinds of ways to incorporate it into my workouts because you can use that flat side for push-ups, and they're balanced push-ups now. You can squat on it. I don't recommend doing that right away, but BOSU balls are super cool, and I highly recommend you checking them out and utilizing them as well as a great option for helping with your balance. So we've talked about proprioceptive nerves, mechanoreceptive nerves, and how you want to be working with these guys. You want to be training them day in, day out so that your balance is on point, so that your senses are in point, and your mobility is on point. Why? So that you can prevent yourself from falling, so you can prevent yourself from getting into a chronic pain situation. Or if you're in pain now, increasing your mobility and working on your balance can be extremely useful for getting you out of pain. The reason being, because if your tissues around your joints is restricted at all, meaning you have restricted range of motion, chances are you're going to have pain. There's going to be muscles that are locking up because of this. You're going to be disengaging certain muscles and overengaging others, and it's going to create imbalances. So if you work on mobility, you work on balance and stability, guess what? You're going to have less pain, you're going to be more mobile, and you're going to be preventing injuries in the future. So I want you to think about, after this podcast, ways in which you can play and have fun with this, but also keep yourself mobile, and what kind of activities you might be throwing yourself into on a random whim. Maybe you play softball like once a year. Well, what kind of moves do you need to help to have yourself trained for that? Here's another one. We're going into winter right now. Skiing, snowboarding. I see a lot of people get hurt this time of year if they don't train themselves and get themselves ready for ski season. So keeping in mind that life is about keeping yourself mobile, because you never know what kind of situation you're going to get into. You don't know when you're going to slip and your body's going to try to fall on ice. If you're better adapted to catch yourself, you're not going to hurt yourself as bad. So thinking about how you can always be preventing injuries. And by working on your balance and your mobility and your senses and just getting your senses dialed in, you're setting yourself up for being pain-free and working on injury prevention all along. So keep that in mind, because like I said before earlier in this podcast, I have way too many people that show up in my office after having sat on their couch for weeks and weeks, then decided to do a project in their backyard, like putting up a fence, and then wonder why they've got tendonitis for the next year. It's because they didn't keep the mobility and balance and sensory training going. So get out there, work on your senses, work on your balance, work on your mobility. You want your nerves to be nice and healthy. You want your mechanoreceptors to be sensing what works, what doesn't. You want your proprioceptors in your feet and your hands to be sensing everything. Go out and play. If you haven't walked on your hands or done a handstand or a cartwheel in forever, do it. Play with it. Do beginner steps if it's been really, really long. So play. Get out there and play. Like I always say, channel your inner five-year-old and you'll be surprised what will happen. So you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausend.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.